You know, friends, I've been thinking. That's a dangerous thought, isn't it? I've been thinking about Easter, resurrection morning, and I've been thinking about eternity. Thinking about eternity past and eternity present and future. And I've been thinking about the goodness of God and wondering, why do you suppose He died? He sent His Son to die because He loved us, I guess, huh? I was talking to Shelby the other day, and Shelby and I, we have good conversations. Howard and I had good conversations. Howard's gone on to be with the Lord now, and our hearts hurt about that. But Shelby and I were talking the other day, and we agreed that even though we go through some tough times, and I mean really tough times, God still has you in mind. Did you know that? God has still got you in mind. And even though we go through some times that we say, you know, Jim, that just don't add up, and this can't be God's will, or why did God let this happen, or whatever, He still has us in mind. Did you know that? He still has us in mind. Even when it seems like our life has gone to heck in a handbasket, He still has you and I in mind. He still has what's best for us in mind. And so I've been thinking about this season called Lent and this wonderful event we call resurrection morning and Easter, and I wondered sometimes, how long has God been planning that? And so I want us to look at some scripture this morning that reminds us of a couple of things, friends. It reminds us that God, in His goodness, His grace, His love, His eternal state, had you and I in mind. You say, Jimmy doesn't know who I am. Oh, yes, he does. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you've been through. He knows what you're going to go through. And he knows your eternal destination because he knows the condition of your heart. And he still has you in mind. And so during this season called Easter and Lent, and whatever else we call it, I wanted us to be reminded this morning how God had us in mind. So I'm going to share with you a whole bunch of scriptures. Normally I don't pick a whole bunch. I got one or two, but I got a whole bunch today. And you can follow along with your Bible if you like, or if you have it, or you can watch on the big screen. But I'm going to pull our attention on how God had you in mind and how God had this plan of redemption through blood for you and I a long time ago. So let's take a look. The first one comes from 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read that one from the New Living Translation. And after that, I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version. And so with each of these sets of verses, I've got a few extra verses in there just to give you the setting of the verses. But then I'll get to the verse that I want to put some emphasis on this morning. 1 Peter 1, verses 17 to 21 goes like this. Peter says, "And remember that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. He will judge or reward you according to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of Him during your time as foreigners in the land." And now 18, getting to the punchline. "For you know that God paid a ransom to save you." You knew that, right? Let me see your hands. You knew that God paid a ransom to save you. Hallelujah. Peter reminds us, "For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors." And the ransom he paid, he said, it's not just of gold or silver. He paid more than that. 19 says it was the precious blood of Jesus. The precious blood of Christ. That's what He paid for you and me. Not only the blood of Christ, but the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, Son of God, Christ. Now listen to verse 20. God chose Him, that's Jesus, as your ransom long before the world began. But He has now revealed Him to you in these last days. Friends, did you know, and I know that you did, but did you realize and do you ponder, God had a plan to redeem you before the world was ever created. You knew that, right? God, in His infinite wisdom, had a plan to redeem us, humanity, by the blood of His Son before the world was ever created. Peter reminds us in the New Living Translation, God chose Him, Jesus, as your ransom, my ransom, our ransom. He chose Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, to be our ransom. The King James uses this word in the John letters, propitiation. The sinless, spotless Lamb of God to die, to shed His blood for us. That plan was in place before the world was ever created. In Revelation, there's a scene. I'm not going to read the whole scene. It's in Revelation 13. I'm just going to go to verse 8. But there's a scene playing out in the expanse of heaven. John is getting this vision, getting this scene, getting this scenario. The church has been raptured. The followers of Christ have gone on to be with Him. The tribulation is in full effect. The dragon, the beast, the devil himself is having his way on earth, if you will. And we get to verse 7 and 8, and John makes this statement that it was granted to him, the beast, to make war with saints and overcome them, and authority was given to him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him. That's just the scenario I'm painting for you. They're talking about the beast, the false prophet, the dragon, Satan at this point, whose names, all would be worshiping him, whose names had not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So Peter reminds us that God chose him as your ransom long before the world began. And John reminds us that this in the expanse of heaven, this scene is playing out. And there's going to come a time when the people, the inhabitants of the earth, most of them are worshiping the devil in his fashion of antichrist, beast, or false prophet. But the names that had been written, John says, in the book of life, the book of life of the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, John also reminds us this plan of redemption through blood was there before the world ever began. And Paul reminds us of the same thing in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7, when he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Verse 4, "just as He chose us in Him," that's Jesus, "before the foundation of the world." You see, friends, He had you in mind before the foundation of the world. He had you in mind. He sent Christ. He provided Christ as Peter has explained to us. He chose Christ to be our ransom And Paul reminds us, as he chose us in someplace times past, he said, I want them to be my followers, and they're going to do it through him, through Christ. He had that all spelled out before the world ever come into form. He had you in mind. He had us in mind. He had your life in mind. And some of our lives, you say, Jim, my life ain't going too good today. He had that in mind. John 17. Christ himself is praying to the Father. This is the last night. This is it. This is the last night. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's asked his disciples to stay over here, wait over here a while and pray. You know the story. And he goes to the Father and he cries out to the Father. John 17, if you haven't read it lately, that's called Christ's high priestly prayer or intercessory prayer. I'm only going to give you a few verses. It begins like this. Jesus spoke these words. He lifted up his eyes to heaven and he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him, and this eternal life that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. You see, friends, God's plan for you started a while back. I was talking to some friends a while back, and we were talking about when Jesus began, and I explained to them John 1, chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. You remember the one? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he said, wait a second, Jim, you mean to tell me that Jesus didn't start at Bethlehem? No, sir. I mean to tell you that Jesus didn't start at Bethlehem. He did in the flesh, as we know it, as the Son of God. But you see what Jesus is saying here, friends? And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was ever started. The Father and the Son were together in the process, in the expanse of eternity with you and I in mind, that we might know the Son, that we might recognize the Son shed his blood for me. He had you in mind and all the difficulties in life. He knew about that, but he loves us intently and he had us in mind and he laid out this plan to redeem us by blood, the blood of his Son. Father, he writes, and John writes in verse 24, I desire that they also whom you gave me, that's you and I, that's his disciples, he prayed for them, and he prayed for people that would come to know Christ in the future. If you have come to know Christ, he's praying here for you. If you have not come to know Christ yet, he's longing for you to come. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. And so you see, friends, this plan of redemption goes way, way back. And maybe you've thought about that conversation. Maybe you can imagine the conversation between God the Father and God the Son in some place in eternity past. Maybe you can imagine. That's what I was thinking about this. What kind of conversation did they have about us and the redemption of humanity in the future before the world was ever formed? You ever think about that? I must be the only one, huh? I thought it would go something like this. God the Father says to God the Son, I think we should create human beings. I think we should create human beings that can enjoy us and enjoy our presence and enjoy our glory, and we can have fellowship with them. I think God the Father said that at one point in time, way, way back before the foundation of the world. And I think the Son said, good idea. How are they going to function? How are they going to act? Father says to the Son, well, we're going to give them abilities like no other creation. We're going to give them opportunities to think and to act and to reason, to love, to procreate, and to choose. We're going to give them the opportunity to choose. I think that's what God the Father said one day, way, way back. I think God the Son said, good idea, but what if they choose something other than us? I think God the Father might have responded to that by saying, well, we'll provide a way for them to be bought back. It's going to take blood to buy them, to redeem them back to ourselves. Even if they reject us, even if they walk away from us, we're going to devise a plan to bring them back. I think the Son said, good idea. How are we going to do it? And I think God the Father said, it's going to take blood. And I think the Son said, good idea. I'll do it. To redeem them unto ourselves. I know this is supposition. I told you my mind works weird sometimes. I know this is not in the Bible verbatim. I know that. But somewhere in the expanse of eternity past, friends, God the Trinity decided to make human beings, you and I, mankind. Somewhere in the expanse of eternity past, God the Trinity knew that mankind would need a Redeemer. They knew that. And sometime in eternity past, God the Trinity knew the plan for the Redeemer to come and shed His own blood to redeem us and to buy us back from the sin-filled and sin-stained lives that would so easily take us away from Him. Somewhere in the eternity past, they had that kind of conversation that said, this will be the plan. Peter said it this way, God chose him as your ransom long before the world began. Friends, I say hallelujah. I say praise be to God. He didn't leave us in our sinful state. In our Awana club, I've mentioned this before to you, but in case you've forgotten it, I'll mention it once again. In our Awana club, we invite our youngsters to memorize Romans 5:8. It goes like this. But God demonstrates His love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that good? But God demonstrated His love for us while we were yet sinners. Friends, the Bible says in Romans 3:23, our Awana kids learn this too, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all in that playing field of sin until we repent of our sin and invite Christ to be Lord. And isn't this good? This verse says it all. But God showed us His love while we were still in that playing field of sin. He sent His Son to die for us so we didn't have to stay there. He wanted to redeem us and bring us back. He brought us back by the precious blood of His Son. I say hallelujah. I also love John 3:17. It goes like this. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Isn't that good? Just as good as 3:16, isn't it? We all know 3:16. We all should know 3:17. God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. That's why He sent His Son. That's why this plan was formulated before the foundation of the world. Because He knew we would sin. He knew we would walk away from Him. Not only walk, we run away from Him sometimes. But He didn't send Christ to condemn us. He sent Christ that we might be redeemed. He had this plan a long, long, long time ago, friends. And let me just wrap it up with this. You see, friends, we're really, really good at accusing God of this, that, and the other thing. We're really, really good at blaming God for this that went wrong and that went wrong and my life is to heck and my marriage is to heck and I lost my job and I lost my house. We're really, really good at blaming God for all the stuff, the external stuff that happens to us. And all along, friends, hear me now, He had your best in mind. He wants people to know Christ, to go to heaven with Him. And even though sometimes hardship assails us and difficulties buffet us, He still has your best in mind. Before the foundation of the world was ever laid, He planned to send Christ to die for you and I. And somehow, somewhere in our lifetime, He wants to grab at your attention and say, Jim, John, Judy, George, whatever your name is, I love you. I sent Christ to die for you, and I want you to respond to Him in faith, in believing, and put your trust in Him. I had this plan from the foundation of the world. Will you accept the plan? That's what this season is all about.